member guest podcast listeners. This is Jordan Hagel. We've got a great episode for you today talking about how to train in the off season for us at MGP who live here in Minnesota, and a lot of our listeners from the Midwest. They wrote in and said, how do you guys get better in the winter when you're not playing golf? What do you do? So we spent a little time, talked about what we do, talked about what some of our listeners wrote in and said that they do. Hopefully there's some good tips, tricks on how to get better, lower your handicap, and have a lot more fun playing golf. Enjoy. Hello, 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 member guest podcast listeners. We are here in the studio today. My name is Jordan Hagel, along with me, Andy Thomas and Tony Hermes with Johnny Rue, the producer. Today's episode on getting better in the off season, especially for our folks that are here in Minnesota, where it snows for 3-4 months out of the year, is sponsored by Swanee's Golf Apparel. Swanee's Golf should be fun. They do our sweatshirts, which is awesome. I know the folks over there, great people. Check out Swanee's at swanees.com. And also Lift Bridge Brewery, Brewing Co. out of Stillwater, Minnesota. They have a new location, I think, coming in summer 2023, and it's going to be in Hudson, Wisconsin. We've got their Berry Blonde. We've got their Mango Blonde. Got a hard seltzer bomb that literally tastes like one of those bomb pops, which is awesome. And then non-alcoholic sodas as well for people that do not drink alcohol, like our friend Andy.
I'm drinking the black cherry soda right now.
I have that as well too, because I'm a
let me hear about it.
Guy. Shout out Lift Bridge. It's fantastic.
It's good, isn't it?
It's smooth as can be.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very nice.
Yeah.
You can try some if you want it, Tony. All right. So today we are talking about a pretty big topic for those of us here in the upper Midwest, how to get better at golf in the quote-unquote off-season. There are places where you can play golf year-round, maybe Florida. You can travel, go on trips, but I think for a lot of people, they take breaks from golf, and specifically here in Minnesota, we take a few months off from golf.
Sadly,
so I'm going to talk about how to get better.
Sadly, we're deep, deep in this season right now when this episode comes out because...
Yeah, really deep.
Gets dark early and gets light late in the morning, and we have to figure out ways we can get better.
Yeah.
And this is gonna be a fun discussion.
And we asked people too, so we'll talk a little bit about what folks do. But
here's a true question. When are club championships won?
In the off season.
In the off season.
Lost in the off season. I had multiple people say this to me, which is that when they come out of the off season, they typically play their best. I think for a couple reasons. One, mentally, it's almost like you go into the new season and or your first couple rounds, and you go into it with no expectations, right? You're like, oh, I'm just getting out, and I'm just playing. Like, mentally, you're not caring as much, mm-hmm. So I think people play better. But then, two, the people that do work on their games in the off season have been actually practicing.
Yeah.
And then you get into the season, you don't practice as much. You just show up. You play, you got other stuff going on, but like in the off season, you're practicing and thinking about those things. So, just want to hear from.
Do you think that's actually the case, or do people just have less expectations when they haven't been playing golf?
So I think people
have perceived that they're.
I think it's
better.
The mental. Yeah,
I think it's got to be a little bit of both, but definitely the mental aspect is like going out there. Yeah, I don't have any expectations of playing well. If it's the third, fourth month of the season and you've been playing 2-3 times a week or whatever it may be, you're expecting to play.
Yeah.
Maybe some
I play
of your best
my best golf.
Golf
in usually August and September every year.
Yeah.
Like it's always August
amazing.
Or September.
I don't. I'd love to dig into that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
But so, do you practice during the year?
A little bit.
See, I practice. I'm in the simulator and then I'll actually go to the farm and just practice, or my old club, like gone and practice.
Yeah.
I do like practice sessions. Mm-hmm. So I think like when I'm practicing outside more, then I'm like go zone for 2 months.
Yep.
And then it starts to fall off because I'm hitting like colder tee times. I'm just trying to show up and just play and get rounds in before the end of the season. We're in like August, September, even late July. It's like I am in prime weather. I'm able to practice, get out more. I'm able to play more. So
I do practice a fair bit. I also think personally, I play better later in the season because coming out of the off season up here in the North Country here, The only thing we have to hit off is mats. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I personally like to try to play at least one round of golf somewhere, somehow, each month of the year.
Yep.
I try. So if I'm going on a trip, a work trip or whatever it may be, trying to fit in at least one round of golf just to have that muscle memory of hitting off grass. Just because that kind of keeps you in that mode a little bit.
And because you just hit better off mats too. Like you have more room for forgiveness.
So. Yeah. You hit a little fat and it comes off nice and it's like, oh, that's pretty close to what I would normally hit a club or whatever it may be. Whereas then you get out there and you have a tight lie and you hit a little thin or you hit a little fat and doesn't go anywhere.
Well, and you're actually on the course. Like when you're hitting off mats, you're just kind of, you can do whatever, right? Like it doesn't count. You know, you're just practicing. You're not hitting like flop shots or off of tight lies or different lies. Like it's the same thing every single time.
Right.
And the muscle memory is good, but the, you know, your angle, like you're not, ball's not above your feet or below your feet or out of the rough or whatever the case may be, different types of grass. I mean, there's so many things that go into
I also think, you know, technology is so amazing right now. We're sitting in your garage at your golf simulator and the technology is incredible that it can track all these things, but there's no substitute for being on a driving range or a golf course and watching your ball fly through the air seeing the consequences of how you hit the ball.
And so I was going to ask you guys first what your things were, what people wrote in, but since you just said that, I'm going to say the most important thing that I think everybody can do in the off season to get better. This is like the most, it seems so simple, but I don't think enough people do it. Two things. One, go to a simulator in like March after you've hit the gym in the winter, you know, you're doing all these things, it's getting close to the season. Hit every single one of your clubs 10 times in a simulator and get the average distance that each one of them goes. I think people will go to ranges at the beginning of the season, like, oh, there's the 150. I'm going to hit my 8-iron. And it kind of lands around somewhere, right? Like, oh, yeah, I hit my 8-iron 150. It's like, well, do you hit it 145 or 155? Because if you're going into a green and it's a back pin and you're like, yeah, it's 150, but you actually hit your 8-iron 155, you are now off the back of the green, chipping back to a tight line. You just made double bogey.
Valid point.
You know, so like get the distances for every single one of your clubs, get the averages and go into the season knowing exactly what your average is for every one of those clubs. And then also get your lofts and lies checked. Go into Second Swing, go into PGA Superstore, wherever, get them looked at because we stand on our clubs, we bend them, we're hitting them off mats or getting bent. I went into Second Swing once. My 50-degree wedge was 48 degrees. And I was hitting that thing like as far as my pitching wedge. And I was like, what the hell's going on? And like, get those checked every year. It's super easy to do, and it makes a huge difference in consistency and in play.
I think your point is a perfect point, like leading into the season. But if I'm going to think about what am I working on right now to get better so that in March, April, when the snow is gone, I'm at my best, I think it really kind of comes down to, for me, in my mind, a couple things is maintaining really, really good posture, setup, grip, and just maintaining those things because I think when you're in the simulator, those types of things can get off kilter pretty quickly, and it's not something that you're constantly thinking about. And I think
so you would say fundamentals,
just really dialing in the fundamentals. And then secondarily is finding a way to be able to hit putts that can range up to maybe 10 footers so that you can just consistently keep your stroke, feeling fluid and it doesn't feel like it's a foreign object when you get out on the golf course.
When I asked people, that was the most common. They DM'd us back and said like, I putt. Like I have a putting mat in my at home office. Not a lot of people work from home or like I have it in my garage or whatever. Like I work on my putting.
Yeah.
And cause that's the one thing that you really can do, right? It's pretty easy to go buy a cheap $20 putting mat, like, and get a couple balls and a putter, put it somewhere in your house and just hit putts.
Yeah.
Make sure you're keeping the stroke the same.
The brand that I have personally, putting mat at my house is a Well Putt. It has a whole bunch of different games that you can play on it, and there's different areas that you can hit to hit varying lengths of putts from, I think it's like 14 feet all the way down to, you know, you can hit a 2-3 footer and it has measurement aspects on it to share with you like where a good miss would be or where a good weight would be, et cetera. And so
an actual hole,
there is a representation of a hole. And then there behind it, there is a cone of a range as to basically say, hey, this is a good weight of your putt, like it to go by 18 inches or what have you.
I like putting it. I like that make more putts one just because it's an actual hole. Like I like to see the ball go in the hole.
Yeah, I say that for sure.
It's like a mental thing for me.
So putting, what else are you working on when you're...
Well, for me, the winter is about working on mechanics.
How so?
I think one of the things that's a little misunderstood about mechanics, at least in my game, or at least this is true in my game, is under pressure, you know, in a tournament, your bad habits are going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to default to the things that you naturally do, that your DNA, your golf swing.
Or right.
Right? So for me, that looks like, you know, we get into the details, but it looks like kind of standing up and getting the shaft very vertical and taking left out of play and hitting big blocks, right? The way to kind of get at that issue and the way to kind of change your mechanics quickly, and I do consider myself a bit of an expert in this because I have, if you look at my golf swing has changed so much in the last 3 or 4 years, is you want to throttle that thing all the way in the other direction.
Yeah.
And that's like what I do in the winter. It's a feel versus real thing, but it's really trying to get it. So, for example, if your path is 6 degrees left would be a common pattern. You're trying to hit balls in the simulator in the winter, getting your path 6 degrees right.
Yeah, completely the opposite.
You're direction. Just throttling it as far in the other direction as you can. And what happens is when you open the season up and you get out on the golf course, you're generally going to be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. So where you want to be, right?
That would be my best advice is use the winter to work on mechanics.
You do that in a simulator or?
Yeah, I think it starts with a diagnosis, right? So go get a lesson, but figure out like what's your pattern? Like how do you deliver the club? And, you know, launch monitor data is like readily available. You can rent a simulator or go hit balls in a simulator.
So many now.
But figure out what do you do? What's your tendency? You know, for me, it's whatever. It's to get the club too far underneath the inside, and it's kind of a fake situation. I get steep in transition, I slide, and I dump the club under, and then I flip it, right? Like, that's just the DNA of my golf swing. Well, all winter, I'm going to work on really super deep hands. Tony and I have talked a lot about this. I'm going to work on a short, compact backswing.
Yep.
And I'm going to work on my pivot and just delivering that club and rotating left as hard as I can and trying to get my path 1-2-3 left from a deep position, right? So I think people misunderstand. They go, I'm going to go and video my swing and I'm going to try in the winter to make a bunch of perfect golf swings. Well, when you get on the golf course, your swing's going to be between perfect and how bad it is DNA-wise.
Yep.
You don't care about how you hit the ball in a simulator. Don't care about how you hit the ball in the range. That's like my best advice to people. You shouldn't care. If you're hitting it bad, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. I get a problem with another problem that I have when I'm in the simulator is invariably I end up trying to see how far I can hit it. And I need, and that's a big problem. Like, it's just like maintaining focus so that you're actually working on something to actually get better. Instead of just having fun on the video game, basically.
Well, I think people get in simulators too, and it's, excuse me. They just step up to the ball and hit it. Like they're just hitting as many balls as they can. Yeah. They don't do the routine stuff. Like I'll catch myself and here I hit 10 drivers and I can feel my heart rate up and I'm like hitting bad balls. I'm like, okay, stop. Do what you would do on a golf course. Go stand behind the ball. Mm-hmm. Look at your target, even though it's the same target every time because you're in a simulator. Stand up, you know, do your pre-shot routine. And then I always hit a good one. It's like you forget when you get in these simulators and other environments that aren't the golf course, you just start like ripping balls. Like you said, you just, how far can I hit it? You know, what stats can I see up on there? And it's completely different. It's like, do what you would normally do out on the golf course when you're practicing, whether it's in the off season or out at the range, like same thing.
Another thing that I, out of this crew here, I'm obviously the old man. think I'm close to 10 years older than you guys. Something that is becoming more and more prevalent, and something that a lot of golfers need to work on is just maintaining flexibility, trying to get more and more flexible, trying to get golf-specific workouts to help them be more consistent, help them get in the best possible shape that's going to help their golf game.
Yeah, 100%. It's and on my list this year. It's a chicken or egg thing with the swing too, because sometimes your swing issues can be a byproduct of like issues you have in your body.
Yeah, and something like, you know, Jordan, we were talking about this just a little bit ago, is there's a multitude of kind of golf workout parameters and ways to measure your capability on within the golf swing. So you had mentioned TPI, Titleist Performance Institute. It's a model of how you are going to approach your workouts to get better at golf. And there's a number of ways that they test it. And, you know, some of the aspects are like medicine ball throw, vertical jump, chest pass, seated chest pass with a medicine ball, et cetera. And then they have all these ways that they can take these numbers and they can essentially create a theoretical max on ball speed, how far you should hit clubs, et cetera. And then it provides you with some workout parameters on how to increase capabilities in those areas to enhance your ability to swing the golf club more effectively. It's something that, you know, people are TPS certified. So there's a number of different places out there to either meet with a trainer, get some workouts online or at a gym through a TPI certified instructor to really help your game. And it's something that is, it seems kind of strange that you're, you know, you may be doing a vertical jump to have correlation to your golf swing, but that's it has been proven directly related to how far you can hit the golf ball, how well you can maintain posture, et cetera. There's a lot of different things that are involved in it.
And even if you don't want to go, you know, pay for a trainer, do something like, I'm just Googling TPI workout and exercise, right? Like people do YouTube videos, six minutes, cable core exercises. There's a lot of medicine ball stuff here.
Yep.
A lot of like stretching and mobility stuff. I mean, this is a lot of this stuff you can just, it's body weight and you can do
100%
at your house. So
I'm going to test this winter. Cause I've never dug in here.
It's something I actually think Andy,
it would help the game.
Well, just knowing you, I think that you would find a lot of value in it and like recognize some of your, where you potentially are deficient.
Yeah.
From a strength perspective. And if you were to work on some of those areas, how it may allow you to swing the golf club more efficiently instead of having to manipulate your swing to get the result that you're wanting.
Yeah. I know for me, like I have almost like no hip mobility.
Oh, mine are so bad.
I've got a huge issue with my right shoulder. I've got a torn and everything. And so you look at my golf swing though, and you're like, okay, like struggle to rotate, steep in transition. It's like those things map directly to like physical ailments.
Yeah.
Well, I grind on the golf swing, but I neglect the temple.
Well, you hear pros and you hear,
you know,
your body's a temple.
It is a temple.
You hear people that give golf lessons. They all talk about like a lot of the same common things, which is like when you're standing over a golf ball and you are about to swing, your body and your mind like kind of knows what you're trying to do. Like when they say envision the shot, because your body will kind of take care of a lot of it. When you do that, like you can go to swing. And if you have things that are out of balance, like a bad hip, bad shoulder, whatever, like your body's going to try and compensate for that just in its subconscious, right?
Yeah.
When you're swinging. And so like for me, it's my hips. Like you've heard me, I'm not as bad as, you know, some other folks who seem to have bad hips, but like mine click. And every now and again, like when I go into a backswing, I just hear and it like throws me off and I can't like, or I get my hips too fast through and I'm behind the ball and it's just all out of whack. So just so many things you can do in the off season just to work on your body and do like golf type exercises to get flexibility, which again goes back to the simulator stats of like, you know, ball speed and, you know, what can I do to, you know, be more consistent with the golf game.
Yeah. Another kind of really easy thing to look at workout perspective is there's so many apps that are out there that have workouts, etc. One specifically that I'm thinking of is Golf Forever. It it's all surrounding the ability to guide you through very simple workouts all the way through some pretty advanced workouts to assist some of these things, whether it's flexibility, mobility, strength, explosiveness, etc. And it literally can walk you through step by step, easy things to do, body weight wise, golf swing wise, and it's pretty awesome. I think it's a really cool app.
Jamie Rue DM'd us and said that guy at our club, I won't say people's names that don't want their names to be said just because sensitive about this stuff, but someone at our club did this, I'll tell you who after, and they gained 3 miles an hour more ball speed,
mm-hmm.
their driver.
And it's,
I mean, and that matters when, especially like when we're getting older, when, you know, like 3 mile an hour ball speed.
It's huge. I think ball speed like correlates to per ball or per mile per hour ball speed, I think is 3 yards.
Yeah. In carry distance. Almost 10 yards.
The club.
Yeah. That's a full club.
So you hit a driver and you normally have a 6 iron and a lot like that 6 to 7 iron. Like a lot of people, that's where their mental is like, oh, 6 iron is now a long iron, but like I'm comfortable with a 7 iron. You know, like you're hitting a 7 iron instead of a 6 or an 8 instead of a 7. You're a lot more comfortable over that shot.
100%.
Well, I'll commit to being our guinea pig on the...
Dude, I'll do it with you.
Okay.
You want to? Maybe we should all do it.
Should we all do it?
And I'll
we
do
could,
it.
We could like read out our progress on the pod.
Are we going to all join Golf Forever and literally do these workouts?
I always say I'm gonna do stuff like this.
Well, when people hold you accountable.
We got to put something on the line.
We could do it for merch.
That's a good idea.
That's a great idea. What is the measurement?
That's a great question.
Let's take that offline and we'll think about it and we'll come back.
Okay.
But I think
we can do an episode on
some kind of a bet.
Maybe we start it like in January, like January 1.
Jan 1.
Right. Jan 1 to we start playing in April, right? So like 4 months, four months.
Yeah, end of March maybe. First quarter. Yeah. Work out for a quarter. First see quarter, what happens.
3 months. I can commit to that. Do anything for 3 months.
What else golf-wise? I mean, I think like one thing too I did a lot last year is just getting in the simulator and working on my wedge distances.
Do you do the wedge matrix?
Yeah. I had one in play for quite a bit of this year, and I kind of ended up going – I'm kind of more of a field player, so I kind of ended up going back because it got a little – if you don't really like stay on top of the practice of a wedge matrix, you can lose it pretty quickly.
Yeah,
but if you're grinding on it all the time, it's a
good
way to
do it. Do you want to tell people what a wedge matrix is? Maybe everybody knows.
Yeah, so basically a wedge matrix is like you build a couple different swings essentially into each wedge, and they go certain distances. So for me, like I had a feel and a swing where I took the club back to like just below parallel, and then the way I did it was I altered also like where I would finish the club. So for me, with a 54 degree wedge, if I take it just below parallel and I finish, I finish just below parallel, right? That shot goes about 75 yards. If I take it back just below parallel and I finish just above parallel, it goes about 85 yards.
Yeah.
If I take it back just below parallel and I finish full, it goes about 95 yards. And then I have a parallel to full, which is 105, and a full to full, which is 115. With my 60 degree, it's the same swings. And the ball goes 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 yards.
We should put up a wedge matrix when we talk about this.
So you don't ever get a weird number. You're like, I got, 81. Well, you kind of have a golf
swing. That's a half 50 degree for me.
Yeah,
there you go. 56.
Right? Yep.
Golf Tech did that. That was one of the first, because I did Golf Tech lessons last year, and I guess we can talk about that in a minute, because I do think there's a lot of benefits to doing something like that to see your swing. But they literally did pitching wedge, then my three wedges, and it was 50% swing, 75% swing, and full on all four of them. So I had
four times 12 shots.
So I had 12 shots, and they basically covered every 5 yards you could have. And I wrote them down. I had them in my little note section. And I'm kind of like you. I'm more feel. But when I got out on the courses, and like especially out where we play, there's so much wind, and you have to start knowing like, okay, I can't hit a full pitching wedge here. Like, I got to knock down an 8 or something because I'm into a 2-3 club wind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to know those things. And so that's another easy one to do in simulators.
Yeah, just figuring out how far your clubs go. So I think, like, figuring out how far your clubs go and then practicing wedge distances and varying your practice. And the other thing I think, too, is in a simulator, one thing you can do that's really valuable is figure out how much you miss left and right.
Yeah.
So bulk practice is kind of, I think, what it's called. So you might take a 7-iron and hit 50 balls and figure out what's your dispersion with a 7-iron.
100%.
Left and right. And that way, when you're out on the golf course, you know, like, if I put a good swing on this, it's going to miss 30 yards or 40 yards left and right. And
At worst.
And so you can pick a target that's more conservative, right? If there's water on the left.
With a 7-iron, I hope you're not missing by 30 yards left or right. But
I think the PGA Tour average with a 7-iron is 30 yards left or right.
Wow. That'll blow 30 yards left or right.
You're saying 15, 15, 15.
Yeah, 15 yeah, left okay. and 15 yeah, yeah. right.
So 45.
I thought you were saying 60 yard.
No. 60 yards is about with a driver. So on, you know, on left to right shots, I think, like, if any of you know about Decade, Scott Fawcett.
Oh, yeah. Controversial guy.
Very controversial guy. We'd love to have him on the pod. I think that'd be cool.
Who is he?
He developed a math-based targeting system, basically, for golf. It's kind of the best way to describe it. And it's pretty interesting stuff, but like...
Kind of his number one student that is practicing his policy or his model is Will Zalatoris.
Yeah. And the idea is, like, in golf, you're shooting a shotgun, not a sniper rifle.
Sure.
There's shot variance on every shot.
Yeah.
And knowing your shot variance is, like, really important because if you're picking targets, you want to spread that shotgun pattern out over the safest area of the golf course, right?
Sure.
So, like, you know, if you hit a cut or whatever, you want to know, like, where do I start this cut and know where it's going to end left to right. So
worst case scenario.
Yeah. In simulators, it's, like, a really good exercise to just hit, you know, like I said, 50 balls with a 7-iron and just figure out left to right. With the driver, like, it's incredibly helpful. Like, you know, I know for me, like, I basically miss the driver left to right. I can miss a driver left to right 60 yards. So when I'm out on a golf course, like, my target is the middle of that shot pattern.
Yeah.
Left to right. Right. So, like,
makes sense.
Yeah, if you have an OB left, you're aiming at least 30 yards right of that.
Yeah. If it's an OB left and the middle of the fairway is 15 yards off that OB and there's a bunker 30 yards right of that OB, I might be aiming in the middle of that bunker.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know at what level you start to think about those things, but a lot of people don't think about that
stuff. I don't think they do. And I think, like, again, the winter is, like, the perfect time to just get that kind of stuff, like, dialed in. You know, I mean, that probably brings another subject. Winter's a great time to learn.
Yeah.
100%.
Right?
I learned so much
yeah.
last offseason that changed. Like,
and from where? Like, what are your sources?
Well, so the first thing I did, and, I mean, I, like, this past year, I grinded so much and, like, I'll tap myself on the shoulder because I had a lot of people compliment me and ask me, like, well, dude, what did you do? Because, like, your game looks completely different. And it was because I grinded so much. A lot of practice.
Yep.
I did golf tech. I went into second swing a lot to try and figure out, like, what clubs I was going to hit, like, the putter fitting, like, everything, just kind of to the next level. Golf tech was really big for me. I think it can be... You know, depending on who you are and the type of, like, instructor that you get, I think I saw three different people. I, like, really liked one guy and ended up doing, like, a package and then, like, 10 lessons.
So I think in a question that just immediately comes to mind is, like, you know, a topic that I hadn't written down to discuss was finding a teacher for the off season.
Yeah.
And so, like, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, just because maybe our listeners don't know, like, golf tech is all over the country. There's golf techs all over
the United States. In the Minneapolis.
Yeah. So area. Like for my own knowledge, I don't know, like this may be too, how much is a package? Like
I want to say it was like $100 for an hour. And like, if you do a package, I vaguely remember spending like $1,200 for 10 or 12 lessons, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, for some people that's, for a lot of people, $1,200 is a lot of money.
The other way I justified it though, was I was paying to go into a normal simulator, like, and just hit balls
30,
on
40,
my
50
own.
Bucks.
And I was paying 40, 50 bucks. So to have somebody like talk to me for an hour, and even if you just go in for the one free one,
mm-hmm.
right. Or like three and only pay
$300, $400,
$200. Let's say you do that. The biggest thing that golf tech taught me, and that same thing I see, like, when we see our pro at Winsong, who helped me out a ton, is when you see your swing from the side and from the back and they show you the main things that you're doing wrong, that is ingrained. And what I was swaying.
Yep.
I was a big swayer at first. And he was like, here's your line. Like, you need to keep your hip at or in front of it at contact. And, like, that is always up here, and I always think about that now when I swing. Like, that was my number one takeaway. And then when they draw the lines of your take back, and he's like, look how over the top you are, like, coming down. Like, that is why you are slicing the ball from left to right. And so even if you just go in and do one or two of those to see you're down the line and from the side and your swing, like, you will see right away what is wrong with your swing, and you will then know how to fix it in a simulator or whatever you're doing when you're out on the
course. I mean, wherever you are at in the golf world, there's gonna be teachers that are looking for students to learn how to learn these aspects, and there's tons of different places within each metro area. Here in Minneapolis, I mean, I can think of 5-10 spots off the top of my head. Either teaching pros from clubs that are looking to help you out in the wintertime, golf establishments that are legitimately just there for golf fittings, but also for training and getting better. And then we have Golf Tech, which is, you know, an example.
I like Golf Tech. Really,
there's a I'm going to opine about something mechanical for a second that's interesting. There's a company, we'll link the description somewhere, but there's a company that does like 3D analysis of golf swings, like Tour Pro golf swings. Mm-hmm. I think it's called Athletic Motion Golf. They have a YouTube channel that's like
you see your body as almost a skeleton.
Yeah, so they hook up all this machinery, you know, to people. But on that like deal about like, you know, swaying and sliding and rotating, and this is another just example of like, you know, something you can do in the winter is like watch YouTube videos literally of like golf swings, and you can learn a lot. But I had like this crazy aha watching one of their videos, which is like, I used to, you know, the conventional kind of wisdom is like rotate around your right hip going back and your left hip going down, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like a conventional like teaching thing, right? That a lot of people talk about that. Well, if you rotate around your right hip, if your right hip and your left hip are here, I'm looking into the video. If you're listening, you won't see this. But if you rotate around your right hip going back and then your left hip going down, did you notice how that whole system moved closer to the golf ball? Right? You rotate around your right hip going back and then your left hip going down. The whole system moves closer to the golf ball. That's like what early extension is. And they basically proved in this video that you should be rotating around the center of your pelvis.
We're going to have to link that video because I'm not picking up what you're putting down, but I like the idea. Something great ideas to think about.
So it's, I'll see if I can just try in real quick. But like they say, you're just hitting a standard 7-iron, right? Like most people put their ball maybe a little bit forward, but just say it's like right in the middle of your stance. And they say like your hands and the butt of the club are like right on your pelvis. Right, you want to rotate everything around that.
Yeah.
If you don't, the back of the club or the butt of the club like goes more towards your right hip,
mm-hmm.
and then when you start to come around, it would go more towards your left hip.
Yeah.
Right, and then you're early extending.
Yeah.
Or you should just rotate around one point.
Yeah.
One central axis.
Which is your pelvis.
Yeah.
Well, moral of the story is like you can learn a lot in the winter. There's tons of resources available, and honestly, like these things. When you can have like ahas that literally change your golf game, just a different way of like thinking about something.
Yeah.
I'm going to add one last one in, and this is kind of going to be somewhat of a fun segue into some of our other episodes, about getting better in the wintertime is having something to look forward to.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just say planning a trip just so that you have an incentive to go get better, have an incentive to go bang a few balls in the wintertime. And just have something to look forward to because just keeping active and just staying consistent is going to be, in my mind, the number one aspect is just having some sort of consistency so that when you do get back out there in the springtime, your game is going to be in the best possible shape that we can
have.
Well,
and on the consistency factor thing, like I get so OCD about this stuff, but and it seems simple, but a lot of people don't do it. Same ball every time you play.
Yeah.
Like, even when you go in the simulators, hit whatever you play. I hit a Titleist Pro V1X every single time. Same tees, like, same tee height. I know it seems really weird, but same tee height when you're practicing your driver. You would be amazed when you go into a simulator and you hit, like, off of one of someone's, like, tall plastic tees that comes out of the bottom, yeah, or when you use like one of your wooden tees, like that matters.
Oh, 100%
it matters. And it matters a lot. So there's so many things that just when you're practicing and doing stuff in the winter, like the easy stuff that just stay consistent with everything.
Yeah.
Because when you get out on the course, like you want everything to be as consistent as possible because your point, you're shooting a shotgun, not a sniper.
Yeah.
And all the things that you can control, like your tees, your balls, your equipment, you know, your lofts, your lies, all those things that are consistent all the way through, like then you can work on the swings and that actually matters.
Yeah, that's a great point.
One thought is winter a good time, a bad time, or it doesn't really matter to go get fit for clubs?
You're asking our opinions?
Yeah.
I feel like just my own humble personal opinion being from up in the upper Midwest here, I personally think that I probably swing and practice more often in the wintertime, which meaning like at the end of the off season, going in and get fit, because that's when all the new gear is out. You get to test all the new stuff and find out what you're going to have in your bag for the next year. So I'm kind of the mindset, like just before the season's going to open up, like go get fit, make sure you're all the changes that you've made over the season or over the off season, whether it's getting stronger, getting more flexible, any of those things to get better. Now you're setting yourself up for success for the beginning of the season.
I agree. I think doing it in the winter and then having a season with all the same stuff, like you want to talk about consistency. I mean, one of the worst things you can do is change your bag halfway. And I know we all tweak and do things, but I think generally speaking,
Andy.
We all tweak
well,
and do things.
I want to opine on that because to me, it's an interesting philosophical question. And it's one we should have with a fitter, which is like, do you fit to when you're doing things well? Or do you fit to like your weaknesses and try to mask them through equipment? You know, because like for me, the more golf I play, the more those things are going to present themselves.
Yeah.
And so like in the summer, I might not be swinging it as good as I am in the winter. And so, you know, I'll make a club change in the summer because like my driver setting, for example, was like dialed in the winter. But like I'm starting to do some things in my golf swing that are not great. And now I'm gonna go to a different driver, and it's gonna really help. So, I think it's an interesting conversation we should have with a fitter.
Different than being fit.
Yeah. I agree.
Like, well, fit is like,
yeah,
they're
typically an iron set. Like, it's typically like a full set. Like you're making a big change. Sure. I think tweaks and stuff. I hit 4 different drivers this year.
Yeah,
yeah. You know? I mean, in my mind, getting fit for like irons is a big. I mean, that's a big change.
Yeah.
A tweak on a driver is like, hey, I'm gonna turn this down 2 more degrees on my loft, or I'm gonna lay this a little bit flat.
So it kind of depends on what you're getting fit for. Yeah, but like driver shafts would be an example.
Yeah, shafts and stuff. But like I think most fitters would tell you, I mean, I hear this all the time, that a lot of the brands are very, very close. Like, yeah, some are gonna be, you know, a little bit depending on swings, like more forgiving. Or go further. Like everybody kind of knows the Pings are really forgiving drivers. Mm-hmm. The TaylorMades go a lot further and Callaway is somewhere in between. But generally speaking, there is a build for each one of those that you can make go the same, right? It's like, you play an 8-degree stealth driver with a 10-gram weight and you notch it down one. I can build you that with the Rogue, but it's going to be a 7-degree that I go up and do X, Y, and Z, but I can get you really, really,
really
close.
Really, really close, yeah.
And I think most fitters would say, like, when they're really good at that, they can make them really close, and then it's all feel.
I love this discussion surrounding the fittings. I think that's another episode that we're going to dig into a little bit more.
We
have a lot of guys in our network, so we can bring in and have discussions surrounding fitting. So I think that's going to be a super fun episode.
We're not fitters, we're tweakers. I'm a tweaker.
Like
open up that drawer right there, you're going to see like 50 different ways.
So I think this is a good spot for us to maybe wrap this episode up just to...
Wrap it up.
We're getting into some fun discussions here, and I think all of this information that we've been chatting about in regards to off-season training and how to get better and... some fun things to work on, and I think we have a little bit of a challenge ahead of us, boys, in regards to a little...
Yeah, we might spin something up.
Yeah. We'll keep you guys in the loop.
There might be something on the line.
Merch.
There might be merch. Anyways, this has been a fun discussion, boys. I'm looking forward to...
Did you see the fantasy football guy that had to go to
IHOP,
and he had to sit there for 24 hours.
Yeah. Oh, that was pancakes, right?
He got 1 hour taken off. Yeah, for
I thought you were talking about the fantasy football loser that had to play golf in like a skirt.
Oh, I saw that. That was funny.
Pretty funny.
Anyway.
Anyways. Appreciate you guys. We're looking forward to chatting with you next
Let us know what you guys are doing in the off season too. I mean, we don't have all the answers, so.
We always need help.
We always need help.
Talk to you guys later.
Member Guest Podcast. We're out.